This is The Friendly Show on WDRT. My name is Andrew. We're back for the third time. This is my relatively new show where myself and a friend of mine get together and listen to a little bit of music and talk to you live on the radio. And we're here on Memorial Day, and I want to wish everyone out there well for their Memorial Day, and obviously thank you to anyone who served. And we're thinking of you today, and we had a very good day of celebrations here in town. There was a great parade earlier, and my friend here today with me is Nick. And you know what, Nick? I'm going to ask you to say your last name because I'm not 100% sure I'm certain how it's pronounced.
You know, I'm not 100% certain either.
Great.
But we'll start with Brehaney.
Brehaney.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's not what I would have said, so I'm so happy that I deferred to you. That feels good. You were saying that you were at the Wonder State Cafe this morning, and the parade took you by surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I showed up, got a cappuccino, was hanging out with my spouse, and all of a sudden people were filling the streets, and I was at first concerned and then very excited.
Was it a good parade?
Yeah, it was great.
Nice.
Short, sweet, good music.
Yeah, fire truck?
Yeah, at least two.
Sure, certainly. Yeah, you're going to have a fire truck. I like the idea of, like, going to a cafe, expecting to do cafe things, and then getting like a very old-fashioned small-town parade.
Yeah.
That's a fun juxtaposition.
For sure.
Yeah. So we listened to two songs off the top here. My song for that set was Will I See You Again from The Sacred Souls, and then yours was Uncanny from Daniel Villarreal. Is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. And then tell me a little bit about that song. What drew you to that?
You know, honestly, like, I find a lot of music just listening to other people's playlists and just surfing the web, and heard about this dude because he mixes instrumental American, like, Central American style music with lots of percussion, and anything with lots of drums, I'm immediately hooked. And then some of the dub, like, background sounds really, I don't know, that's what drew me in. I was like, it's like dub reggae, but more live instrumentation.
It's got a fun mix, right, of, like, kind of two different styles that are flirting together in a way that I think is fun. So I enjoyed that. And we were talking while we were listening to the music that you saw the band that I played, The Sacred Souls, in St. Paul.
Yeah.
What was the venue?
Oh, man, I can't remember. I cannot remember. Save my life. It was my first time hanging out in St. Paul.
Yeah.
So.
It's a great city. And we were talking about how sometimes when you'll go see a show that you're excited to see, you'll get all amped up and you'll be there. And then the person who's running the board in the venue. Do you think it's that they... See, my theory is... They're wearing earphones, or earplugs, I should say, because this is their job.
Yeah.
So they're trying not to lose their hearing. But music doesn't sound the same if you're wearing earplugs.
No.
Like, if I sit at home and listen to music with earplugs on, I'm like, my speakers aren't that good.
Yep.
But it's because I have earplugs in my ears. So my theory is that a lot of music is mixed poorly because the guys that do it think they can do it without taking their earplugs out. Do you think is there any validity to that?
I mean... It's just one of those things where I'm like, how can you make the drums that loud?
Yeah, exactly. Like, right. Yeah. What are you looking for?
Yeah.
What are we trying to do here?
Yeah. Like, if I can't hear the guitars at all, if I can hear every tap of the drum in my spine.
Right. Then, you're feeling that in your soul.
Yep.
And the guitarist might as well have just taken the day off.
Yep. Basically.
Yeah. That's disappointing because, like, we were saying, like, you've made the trip. You've done all the things. You've put the effort forth. You're there. And then you kind of can't hear half the band. It's kind of a bummer. So
yeah,
just a word out there. If you know if you're listening right now and maybe you've ever, I don't know, mixed a live show, you could give me. I'm open to feedback. You can email the station and tell me I'm wrong, way off base. It would not be the first time. I just would love to know if you go to a show and it's not mixed well, what's the cause? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I'm very curious to know what that's about. So these are the sorts of things, you know, we try and get to the bottom of here on the show. So, Nick, we've known each other for, let's see, 5-6 years at this point, right?
Yeah,
you moved to Viroqua in 21, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2021. You work at the coffee company. So, you know, we have mutual friends in common and then have become, you know, obviously good friends of our own, right? We were just at a backyard barbecue together celebrating the holiday. And I, you know, I guess... From your perspective, you know, coming to Viroqua fairly recently, is, you know, how is it different from like the expectations that you had of the town, you know, before you moved here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was kind of wild because when I first visited, it was early April. Mm-hmm. And early April in this part of Wisconsin is still winter.
Yeah.
It's winter light, but it's not spring.
And right.
So, you know, I came, there wasn't a leaf on a tree. there was like, it was just gray as could be outside. And then, you know, I was just like talking with my spouse and I was like, are we really about to move to this gray, dreary place? And like, you know, I
had. And you're from Indiana. So for you to call a place gray and dreary.
Yeah.
It has to really stand out as gray and dreary.
Yeah. I mean, basically all of northern Indiana is the color gray most of the year. So I was like, this is really scary. And then also I like had heard people talking about like putting chains on your tires.
Sure.
And I was like, oh my God, do I have to buy tire chains? Like, I'm really scared.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like moving here and, you know, moved in more or less the summertime, the tail end of summer, and seeing like, oh, the whole world is alive in a way that I've never seen it. And especially like, you probably remember, it was like 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we had all that rain. It was still a little bit overcast.
Yeah.
And the grass was like electric lime green for like a couple weeks. And it's like, it's psychedelic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the outdoors are just unparalleled.
Yeah.
I mean, being outside is the reason why you move to a place like this.
It's crazy because it is, I mean, I think everybody here knows it. Like, you live here for the time of year that it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's even crazy to be inside doing this show.
Yeah.
Like, we should have microphones on the street. It's just so nice outside, you know, and it feels like a giant relief when it finally breaks loose like this. And it is actually nice, and it's supposed to be nice all week. And you can just kind of like stop worrying about like, is it gonna snow? Is it, you know, is there gonna be a frost?
I mean, it is very funny to watch people after the snow dumps, just like, you just see people driving down the road with their little Kubotas, just like trying to deal with the snow. Like,
yeah.
It's an existential threat to all of life for a moment. And it's quite hilarious to watch.
I mean, I like some of the snows we got this winter, they were, I mean,
it's true. No joke.
We got a lot all at once. And it does, I mean, in the moment, it does kind of feel like, I remember that March blizzard.
Yeah.
You know, right before St. Patrick's Day. I remember waking up in the middle of the night that night when it was really gone and going downstairs and just like realizing if I need something, I'm truly on my own and I'm not able to, I can't leave. Like I'm stuck. So like, if I need help, I'm walking out.
Yep.
You know, is that's where we're at. So, you know, I think there, for the most part in modern life, you know, there's not times where you're truly marooned, but, you know, if you live in rural Wisconsin and it really decides to snow a bunch, that's the closest you can get. That or when the floodwater rises. You know, those are kind of the two options. So is there anything like, I mean you're fond of your home state. You like you grew up in Fort Wayne, right? I mean consider that your hometown.
Area,
Is there something that you think that maybe that part of the world does better than here that you wish Wisconsin would get hip to?
Oh my God. Wow. That's a really hard question. Yeah, I mean, this part of Wisconsin has no, like, at least here in Viroqua, I won't speak to La Crosse. We don't have punk hardcore music.
Okay, there you go. Nice.
And Fort Wayne, Indiana, when I was coming up as a young person,
that
was like what you were listening to was like hardcore punk music. You know, everybody is listening to the same bands. There's a good scene, whether it's a living room or a BFW or a skate park.
Yeah.
Like you're just hanging out with people at the shows. And we've had enough bluegrass. You heard it here first.
That, you know, I mean, there's some places in town where you can get away with saying that, but I don't know, being live on WDRT, I don't know, we want to take a very firm anti-bluegrass line.
You can blame me, I'm from Indiana.
there's room, what I'd say is there's room for all types of music.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump back in and listen to some more music. We are going to, let's see here, I think we're going to listen to one of yours first. This is Road to Nowhere. So you're listening to The Friendly Show on WDRT. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will be back to chat in a little bit.
Where we know where we're going, and we don't know. Thank you. to see you grow.
This is The Friendly Show on WDRT. My name is Andrew. Thank you so much for joining me. It's a pleasure to be with you. We are in our third episode here. The format is pretty straightforward. It's me and a friend of mine, and each of us brings in some music that we've been listening to and that we like, and we play it, and we talk about it a little bit, talk about other things that are going on, and that's how you get through an hour. All of a sudden, it's 7 o'clock, and Dale will be in here to play the blues, and we just keep on going, you know, the rest of the night. So my friend that's in here today is Nick, and Nick and I were talking during the break more about differences between living in Indiana and living here. And, you know, one thing that occurs to me is just like, I mean, Fort Wayne is, it's not a big city,
but it's not
as small as Viroqua, right? And so there's a little bit of like, I mean, I think, you know, I moved here from Madison, you know, and I mean, I wasn't even living in town, but you know, when you move here, there's things that you have to adjust to just in terms of like the availability of certain things. And then also just what it means to live in a small town where kind of eventually you're going to know most people, you know, and your paths are going to cross with a lot of different people and in a lot of different ways. And I think there's a lot of strengths to that, but it can also be, I think, I'm sure a lot of people listening can, you know, testify to the fact that it can be challenging in its own way as well.
Yeah, totally. I mean, even just like small things like not wanting to be seen and to be out in public, which is like, it sounds
right.
So
you try to go to the cafe and there's a parade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not going to be able to stay hidden if there's going to be a marching band. It's going to draw attention. Yeah, no, I think it's interesting because I think there's a lot of strengths to it, obviously, but I think you've had a unique experience, and then you know the other thing that I think is a unique experience that you bring to Viroqua. That's, and there's other people here that I'm sure travel quite a bit, but you for work, you work for the coffee company here in town, and so you travel pretty rare. I mean, would you say monthly? Is that an exaggeration?
I mean, lately it's been monthly.
You've been gone a lot this spring.
Yeah. I think I was adding up in between like some PTO and work. It was 6 weeks so far this year, which is bananas.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's a lot of time to be gone out of what? Not even 26 weeks so far. It's now we're not halfway through the year. So probably 20 weeks in the year and you've been gone for six of them. Yeah. So, yeah. When you come back from traveling like that, because I mean, traveling for your coffee work takes you to a lot of rural areas too.
Yeah, for sure.
So I mean, you go on long trips, right? Because you've told me before, like door to door, the trip to Peru is like 36 hours.
Yeah, 36
something
hours
like
door to door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you do something like that, obviously you're going to another rural community, and so it's in some ways similar, I'm sure. But does when you come back from those trips, does it feel a little bit different to be back? Do you feel a little bit different about Viroqua and kind of what it's like?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I feel like home is a place that's like built over time, and it's like layers of memory and experience. And also then, like, as much as we leave an impression on the place that we're in, like it leaves an impression on us.
Mm-hmm.
And so especially like this last trip, I like gotten to the hills, you know what I mean? Like, outside of Madison, and I was like, oh boy, like, this feels good just to see this landscape again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's so green and, like, lush and warm and, like, still, but, like, with cool breeze, it's a beautiful time of year. And I was just like, ah, this is what, like, rest feels like.
Yeah.
Is being in this place.
Yeah, especially after being on the road for a while.
Yeah. Chiapas 95 every day.
Yeah, yeah, that's different. I find, you know, I travel a little bit for work myself, and I find that those trips can kind of serve as an interesting sort of, you know, benchmark or bookmark in the year.
Yeah.
And almost like it's like, it feels like when you read a book and you get to the end of a chapter, you know, even though the story is continuing and obviously there's, you know, there's good carryover. There is also a feeling of like, I see things a little bit differently because I was away for a while. And some of the things that maybe I took for granted now I see in a way where I don't take them for granted. And some of the other stuff that maybe was getting on my nerves now is not, you know, or maybe I see something I do want to, you know, I come back and it's like, oh, I actually, now that I see that again, I do want to change. You know, I really, that I don't want anymore. And I didn't realize how tired I was of that facet of my life until I was away from it. And now I'm back with it. And it's now undesirable, you know? So I think that it feels like a real gift to be able to travel away from an area that is kind of like you're saying, like a destination, right? Like, I mean, a lot of people travel to be here. Mm-hmm. So to travel away from here and then come back does feel like every time a little bit of a homecoming in a way that I think helps refresh, you know, me and just how I feel about being here and what it, you know, what just what's up, you know, like what the new challenges are.
Yeah, and I mean, there's something, you know, like, especially after being in Chiapas and seeing a lot of the deforestation that's happened near some of the metropolitan areas, you know, coming back to Wisconsin and realizing there's this huge lineage and history of conservation and just caring about the place, like the physical, literal place, and seeing the Wisconsin River and driving over it, and then, like, you know, being outside, just walking around this weekend on some hiking trails, it was like, man, this is a huge gift.
I think that's a great point. And I think it's also like, there's also the very practical component of you kind of can't get here without taking some time.
Yep, exactly the pace.
So you're kind of like you land in Madison and then you drive back. And, you know, it doesn't happen all at once, right? Because you're in Middleton and then you're in Cross Plains and then, you know, and it's like you said, you're starting to see a little bit of roll to the hills, but you're still in the river valley and then you cross that bridge near Spring Green. To me, that's where I really start to feel some feelings, you know, and then once you get past Richland Center, obviously it all changes. But even that first little part, I think with I feel like the dividing line is the bridge in Spring Green where you see the river for the first time, especially this time of year when it's always stunning, I think, even in the, you know, winter, no matter when, it's always breathtaking. But this time of year, I mean, it really will like knock your socks off. And then it's like, plus, you're kind of close at that point. You're like an hour away, you know, it's like, okay, I start to taste a little bit. When you travel that long, I'm totally shifting topics here, but thinking about travel reminded me of it. When you travel that long, how do you pack? Do you pack light?
Oh man, it's so hard. Because I've made so many mistakes. I pack really light. And
we're talking like a backpack?
Yeah, like I've done the same.
So you're like a carry-on only guy.
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, it kind of, I jump back and forth. That's the thing, I'm an uncommitted man when it comes to my backpack. So, like, I'm always making the wrong choice. So, like, on this trip, it would have been better to just pack a little bit lighter. But, like, you know, when it's blazing hot, your clothing just smells so bad, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And so it's good to have extra clothing. And then there's been trips where I, like, come home and I'm like, yeah, half of these things I didn't wear them.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, I'm that idiot that brings, like, three books and reads, like, four pages of the whole trip. Because I want to be that guy that's reading.
Sure, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's cooler than the guy with the big book on the plane.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it just, it's because I'm a serial overpacker, certainly. And I don't personally find myself ever regretting it. Even if there's stuff I don't wear, it just makes me feel good to know that there's a t-shirt for me.
Just, you
know,
one extra.
In case something happens.
Yep.
That's my entire mindset when I look at my clothes and I'm about to take a trip is and it's like, well, if things go wrong, I've got that t-shirt. Yep. That's there for me. Oh, yeah. If nothing else, you know. And that feels good. But even if it's like almost like if that t-shirt doesn't get worn, I guess the trip went pretty well, right? Yeah. I didn't have an emergency. No, I didn't need to break into my
no emergencies.
I didn't need to break into my stash.
No, and I'll definitely be getting like taco sauce or like just some dripping on my
shirt
the very first day.
Yeah, so you're gonna. Well, yeah, stains is a different story. Yeah. If you, in my opinion, if you're not on the flight home wearing one piece of clothing that has a stain on it,
where did you?
You have not traveled well.
You didn't even eat a cheese curd. Like, I mean, the singular cheese curd accomplishes that.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, that's all you need, really. Yeah. Okay. All right. It's good to talk with you, Nick. I'm so glad that you're here. We're having fun. It's the Friendly Show on WDRT. I'm still working on my transitions. This is not something that I do a lot in my other show that I do on Wednesdays from 3 to 5, Juice and Snack. Check it out. I don't do a ton of transitions from talking to music, and so still working on that part of it. We'll get better over time, but right now all I do is I just say, all right, and then I go back to talking about the music. So we didn't talk about the music we listened to. You played a song called Road to Nowhere from, I'm going to say Roger.
Yeah.
We Roger, like Roger there?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. And it's a cover, we think, but we're not sure from what band.
Uncertain?
Yeah.
Uncertain.
Pete would know, and he's not here.
Yes, I know.
Great. Okay. And then my song was Don't Want to Know from John Martin back from the 70s, a song that I've really, really been listening to a lot recently. And on that note, let's play some more music. This is The Meters, The Great Meters.
Cut you.
You are listening to The Friendly Show on WDRT. My name is Andrew. Thank you so much for joining me. And again, Memorial Day tidings to all of you out there. I know that there's some, you know, feelings about not saying Happy Memorial Day. And I'm not 100% sure on what the right thing to say is.
Regards.
Regards. Yeah, my best regards to all of you on Memorial Day. And again, a genuine thank you to those of you who have served our country. We listened to It Ain't No Use from the Meters off their great album Rejuvenation, one of my favorite songs of all time. And it is, to me, sort of the prototypical beginning of summer song. The way the guitar riff starts and the way that it kind of jumps in all at once there and then just jams out for a while, I think you'd have to go pretty hard to replace that as like the best song to play with the windows down on a summer evening. So I hope that you were able to do that. And then we heard El Aguajal from Los Chapis, which is a, Nick, you were saying it's a Peruvian band, is that
yeah,
right?
Peruvian yeah. Psychedelic cumbia. It's yeah. Like, it is the popular music of a lot of Peru, and it's a lot of fun.
And you were saying, like, so we talked a little bit before about your travel, and so when you go to these remote places in Peru, there's like a few flights, and then you get to the mountainous area. But then the grueling part is that you're in, you know, you're on a, like a bus, right, or a car yeah. for many hours.
14 hours.
Yeah. It's just a crazy number to say, 14 hours.
And they're playing the psychedelic cumbia for 14 hours straight. So
is there, I mentioned I travel a little bit for work, but my travel is like domestic exclusively at this point. And very much more like classic business travel, you know, like flight to rental car to hotel
sure.
to, you know, a mediocre restaurant in the suburbs. If I had to take a 14-hour van ride, bus yeah. ride, there would be a point during that time where I would kind of lose my mind.
Oh yeah, no.
Does that happen to you too?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. do you get really irritable at any point? Are you just like, I would rather be anywhere else in the world than this bus?
Oh yeah. The secret is just like, I mean, especially after hour like 8 or so,
mm-hmm.
because by that time, like, you know, the first 2 or 3 hours, people are pretty chatty.
Sure.
Like
sure.
you've had your coffee, you have sure. breakfast, everybody's yeah. chatty. Then like, you know, by hour like 6, you have lunch, and then like after lunch, you're just like, oh god, there's still so much.
Yeah.
And so. Yeah, I just like keep telling the bus driver or like the car driver, I'm like, every 2 hours, I'm just like, can you stop? I have to use the restroom, and I don't go to the bathroom. I just step out of the car for a minute. And I just like walk around.
Okay.
And I just like breathe fresh air. And then I get back in. Okay. Like, okay, I can do this for
another
2 hours.
And there's no reproach or there's no, the driver doesn't get angry about that?
No, because usually everybody else has to actually use the bathroom.
Gotcha.
Nobody wanted to say stop the car.
You're just the guy who's got the cojones to...
Pretty much.
To say, we got to stop this.
Yeah, I'm just like, I need to be able to move my
That's
legs.
Beautiful. What a life hack right there. So the life hack here essentially is ask for what you need.
Yep.
Because you'll get what you need and somebody else will also get what they need in the process.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, okay. All right, I do have, if you'll indulge me.
Yes.
I have a singular serious question that I wanted to ask.
Please.
So I know we've known each other for 5 years. You are a man of faith.
Yeah.
And I know that you also have some pretty lefty politics.
Yeah.
And so I was curious your thoughts on the fact that the Christian church, I mean, for the most part in America, increasingly, I would say, is identified with, you know, a particular set of conservative right-wing politics.
Yeah.
And how you personally... If you don't mind sharing,
yeah,
how you sort of navigate that tension?
Yeah, it's a huge question. I think like
I like to do it at the end of the show, so you have as little time as possible to answer.
I think the thing that I've had to learn is one that like everybody is on some sort of spiritual journey, like you know whether you call it that or not. And the second thing is. It's easy to reach a point in life where you can say, I've read a lot of books or I've listened to a lot of podcasts or I've learned so much. And then you say, well, I just know more than everybody else around me. And so I know what's better than others. It's easy to come from that perspective towards other people, faith especially, is to mm-hmm. say, well, I know so much. And it's okay. I think it's like, how do I put this? You got to have as much grace as possible with fellow human beings.
Yeah.
No matter what. And mm-hmm. I think that fidelity to the gospel is, it should be uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah.
And the second it feels really comfortable or it aligns itself with like militaristic power, mm-hmm. we're in deep trouble.
Yeah. I think that's a really valuable sentiment. I think there's, you know, what jumps out to me from that is the sort of dual points of, grace, you know, extending grace to everyone in your life, and then also accepting a level of personal discomfort.
Yeah.
And how I think those, to me, those feel very linked in the idea that, you know, you're extending that grace because you expect everybody is living with their own discomfort.
Yeah.
Right. And trying to, like you said, trying to navigate a lot of the inherent contradictions of modern life.
Yeah.
In a sort of a, their own way. They're, like you said, they're on their own journey.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of like when people talk about faith, they talk about love, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I think love is a call and it's a response, mm. right? Like it's easy to say, well, I'm all love, but man, what does love mean like in real action towards your fellow person, your neighbor, mm-hmm. the people that, and at the hardest time, the people that you actually don't like, what is it like, what does it mean to care and love for those people? Really difficult, really challenging, and something I think we should all be asking ourselves.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, to your point, it's obviously a sort of fundamental human question that is important permanently,
yeah.
as long as there's more than one person on earth.
Yeah.
But I think also it's, you know, clear to say and fair to say that it's especially important in this moment, right? And, mm-hmm. and so many of the challenges that we see domestically. Mm-hmm. You know, both at the local and national level, that I think stress that level of, you know, our ability to extend grace and love to fellow people. So I appreciate that answer, Nick, and thank you for being thoughtful, and thank you for being a guest. It's been a lot of fun. We are going to play a little bit more music here on the way out. We're going to hear Soledad y El Mar. From Natalia Lafourcade, is that right? Lafourcade?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then Prende la Vela from La Tropa Calanata, is that right?
You are pronouncing it as best as possible.
Balanata. It's a V, not a C. I'm doing this without my glasses, too. That's the biggest part. One other thing. We did look it up, Pete. Thanks for yelling at both of us via text. And it is a Talking Heads cover, that song. Yeah, The Road to Nowhere. So my apologies. I'll just go on the record right now and say that I don't listen to a lot of Talking Heads. And I apologize to everybody out there that is offended by that. I've heard great things. Okay, so we're gonna listen to these two. Anything you want to say about these two before we get out of here?
Nothing. I just traveling the Americas has made me appreciate not just the food and the beauty of the geography, but man, the music is so alive and really was stoked to share with you all.
You've got great taste in music, great taste, especially in international stuff. You know, a lot of stuff that I've never heard. And I'll just put you on blast and say, like, if you see Nick out and about in the community and you want, like, a good recommendation for something off the wall, he's your guy to ask for that, because he's always got one. So this has been The Friendly Show. We're going to listen to a little bit more music on the way out the door here. But thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Going forward, I will be here every Monday. So we'll be back next Monday, June 1st, for another edition. And as I said before, I also have got the juice and snack there every Wednesday, 3 to 5. So, again, thank you all for your support, for listening, and we'll be back again soon. Until then, take care, everybody.
En el canto de las olas encontré un rumor de luz por un canto de gaviotas. Supe que allí estabas tú. Despidiendo últimamente todo lo que sucedió. Hoy saludo mi presente y gusto de este dulce adiós. Voy a navegar en tu puerto azul, quisiera saber de dónde vienes tú. Vamos a dejar que el tiempo pare, ver nuestros recuerdos en los mares y esta soledad tan profunda. Que en el canto de las olas me quisiera sumergir, embriagándome en su aroma, algo nuevo descubrir. Voy a navegar en tu puerto azul, quisiera saber de dónde vienes tú. A dejar que el tiempo pare, ver nuestros recuerdos en los mares y esta soledad tan profunda que me cante el mar un bolero de soledad.
Prende la vela de la cumbiamba, pide candela.